Welcome to the Bayside Church Weekly Message Audio Podcast, Cheltenham.
So look, before I start my message today, I understand that, you know, being Mother's Day, that it's not, you know, there's people in the room here that this may not apply to. You may not be mothers. You may even be a man. And that's all right, because we are loving and accepting of everybody. And Mother's Day is normally a wonderful celebration, a time when mothers are honored for their constant love and daily sacrifice, and when life itself is recognized and treasured as the amazing gift that it is. But many women have had losses, and even recently, many women in our congregation have had losses. Perhaps you have had a loss of a child, or the opportunity to have a child. Or maybe you've experienced recently the passing of your mother or another family member that makes Mother's Day different for you. Mother's Day is one of the biggest triggers of painful memories, regrets, and remorse over what might have been. It's a sad day for these women and for those who may have an estranged relationship with their mum or never experienced love and nurture from their own mum. And I think it would be remiss of me to not say, my heart goes out to you guys. My heart goes out to those people whose Mother's Day will not be the same. One of the things I had the pleasure to do was to meet up with Deanne, our lovely, beloved Deanne's mum. And you know, that is something that she was concerned about, the first Mother's Day without her beautiful daughter. So please understand that whilst we are going to be talking about some funny things, I do feel your pain. I do feel that it's not easy for everyone. It's also a day where we can think about mother figures, people who may have mothered us in some way. And you know, you don't have to be older than someone to mother them. I recently mothered someone by putting a beanbag in their pajamas, in their bag. I was staying with them and I wrapped their nightdress up in a beanbag, and they said, "Oh, I feel like I've got a mother." We can nurture people in all sorts of ways. And you know, today's a day that you can think about how you could actually reach out to someone else and nurture them just a little bit. I am very blessed. I have had and I have got a great mum. She's incredible. And I've got some beautiful mother figures in my life. Some of the things I've learned from them are, when you're on well, stay in your dressing gown, because the minute you get out of it, everybody expects you to be on. Great advice, mums. Another great advice is, you know what? If you don't have time to do fake tan on your whole legs, just do the part that's going to be seen. So often, I have got this fake tan going on that's kind of the reverse of a golfer's tan. So a golfer's tan starts from here, but mine finishes here. It sort of starts on the feet and goes up, you know, if you're wearing three-quarter length trousers. And that's okay, ladies. It's okay to do that. You know, sometimes I work my outfits out depending on the length of my hem. So if it starts on a Monday and I'm going to be wearing three-quarters, well, I just make sure my ankles are shaved. And then as the week goes on, it goes up to my knees. And then Rob says, if you don't do any more, I'm going to get an arborist. I mean, it's been a bad week. This week, I said to the mothers, you know, they're all looking gorgeous at the Mother's Day lunch yesterday. And per Elliot Costello, you know, from YGAP, I felt so sorry for him. I said, Elliot, are you coping here? He said, this is a hard audience. Now, they were all coiffed to within an inch of their lives. Every nail was polished. I tell you, there wouldn't have been a hair astray. Listen, I was turning bohemian. I thought somebody could do cornrows underneath my arms. But anyway, nobody could see. Nobody could see. It's all good. You know, sometimes as mothers, we need to know that it's okay to take shortcuts. And we all do it. Come on now. How many of you wearing sandals have only painted the toes that you can see? Yeah, all right. Well, at least we've got some honest people in the room. You know, honesty is the best policy, and the reality is that none of us would be here tonight if it wasn't for our mothers. So regardless of our relationships with them, God saw it fit that you you, every part of you, would be created in your mother's womb. They talk about test tube babies, but they don't grow babies inside a test tube. You are grown inside your mother's womb. If you've got your Bibles with you today, just turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 139. Oh, music to my ears. I love this. This is a divine partnership between God and our mothers. Amazing. Psalm 139. And we're going to read from verse 13. Are we there yet? Are we yet? We are? We're good. Okay. For you, oh, by the way, I'm using the Holman version because I like the Holman version. Yeah, no, it's really good. You should take a look at it. It's one of the best translations. Okay, verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You know, every one of us start the same way. We are knitted and created inside our mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, there was days that I used to look in the mirror and I would be terrified. Okay, second wave. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. You know, I stand in front of the mirror and I say, God, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And while I'm shaking in my boots, you have made me wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You know, I've been doing a little bit of reflecting on different things, and I was thinking about the power of naming. In fact, businesses sell naming rights to people who are going to support them and sponsor them. Naming is really important. You know, when you're a mom, you get, for the first couple of years, you get to open your kids' presents and you get to name all their toys. I used to love naming all the kids' toys, and I would be horrified when they'd change their names. Like, I mean, why would they? I remember when we talked about getting dogs, and the kids had some wonderful names like Fifi, you know, and Rob said, I am not standing on the beach and shouting, Fifi, it's not going to happen. But names are important. And the Bible says that God has a name for each of us that he knows that is special. And I began to think about this. And I began to also think that the Bible says that children are an inheritance from the Lord. The fruit of our womb, a reward. Now, some days they do not feel like a reward. But I put them to bed, or I go up and check them when they're fast asleep, and I say, you are my reward. You may not feel like it, you may not act like it, but you are my reward. Recently, I was thinking about this, and I thought, from God and me, we had this partnership. Obviously, there was Rob involved. And we had this partnership, and these children were created in my womb, and from my womb, I have had Georgia Grace Elizabeth, Paris Joy Isabella, and Trinity Hope Kathleen. And I began to meditate on that from my womb, my reward is grace. My reward is joy. My reward is hope. And each child, I look at them and I go, why am I surprised when my 16-year-old shows such incredible grace and graciousness for her age? When my 12-year-old, who's a babbling, bubbling brook, we call her the joy bringer, and sometimes she's got so much energy, I just go, calm down. She brings me joy because I've been speaking it out for 12 years. Trinity brings so much hope to us. There's this partnership between God and us, the fruit of our womb, a reward. You know, women certainly and definitely mothers have got their job laid out for them. I was trying to get this message together, and I thought I'll just go to a quiet place in a cafe. Now, I haven't been to Southland since, for months, and I've been there the last few days, you know, a few days in a row. Anyway, I went into David Jones and I snuck in. I said to the lady, I just need a wee quiet corner. And she says, oh, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. So she puts me in the wee quiet corner and I'm sitting there and I'm getting this message written down and I'm in the flow and I'm going, yes, nice cup of tea, nobody to bother me, no children. And along comes a mother with two children. And she's just like me going, what do you want? Could you please make a decision? We're going to have this. We've got to eat now because we're not going to eat now. And on it goes. And I put in my headpiece and I thought, no, that's rude. Can't do that. In every distraction, there is a gift, Christy. What is the gift in this distraction? Meanwhile, I'm going, would it be really rude to move? I'm thinking, yes, it'd be really rude to move. There's a mother. Have compassion. Have compassion. So I thought, okay, there is a gift in this distraction and I'm going to find it. And I did. And I started to ask her some questions about motherhood for my message, which I will share with you very shortly. And then when I actually got home to put this message, can I have that little message that came up on my computer? I won't be on that screen, it's on this screen. This message came up. Word cannot save or create this file. The disk may be full or, what does that say? Or write protected. Try one or more of the following. Free more memory. Well, listen, I'd love to free more memory in my head. And then it says, make sure that the disk you want to save the file on is not full, write protected or damaged. Mother Day message 2014. I nearly lost Mother's Day 2014. And I'm thinking, I don't believe this. This is the world of a mother. You know, you're juggling so many things at so many different times. There is more pressure on us. Like when Rob says, I've got to go and work, life or limb needs to be in the balance before you interrupt him. When I say, I've got to go to work, it means just come and ask me for anything you want, anytime you want, anytime, anytime. I tried to be Rob today. I tried to be him last night, actually. He said, you should be more like me. So I tried. And then every five, what should I wear? Should I wear this jacket? Should I wear, I'm doing my message. I'm doing my, I'm read, I need to read my message. Put a sign across my chest. The problem is that the expectations on us as mothers come from all over. They come from society, from family, our own children, and from within us. Standing strong and knowing who we are can be difficult. And if we waver for a moment, we can lose all the balls at one go. And, you know, I have meltdowns. I had a meltdown the other day about the stupidest thing in the world. I was keeping all my balls in the air. Oh, actually, I don't have any to keep in the air. But anyway, I was keeping... Oh, I didn't mean to do that. I so didn't mean to do that. Plates. Plates. I was spinning plates. I do have balls and I need them for the job that I have, let me tell you. See, the last time I did that, I have grown so much spiritually. The last time I did that when I had the giant ball that was I was throwing around the auditorium and I said, you've got balls in your lap and you don't know what to do with them. I was so scared of what Rob would say to me afterwards. I had perspiration running down the rivet of my back and into my shoe. I don't have any of that today. I am a new woman. I am free. Oh, that feels good. Anyway, so I had said to someone, because my children had tidied out their rooms and bin bags worth of clothes were sitting upstairs. Now, because I couldn't go upstairs, I didn't notice. But I thought somebody else would notice. I mean, surely three bin bags worth of clothes should not be sitting upstairs. I mean, it just shouldn't happen. I mean, it's illegal. And so I asked to bring the three bags down. So, or I didn't know it was three bags, I just said, bring them down. So when I get home, I'm harried because my computer has broken down and everything's happening. And now these bags are sitting in my office. Like, Holy Grail, do not set anything in Rob's office. And my office is inside the front door, and everything gets set in my office. So I thought, I'm going to sneak into my office. But here are the three bags. Now, I am freaking out about these three bags. Because now, these three bags are not just three bags. This represents my children not putting their stuff away and folding it neatly. This represents, there was a pair of trousers in there that are current uniform, wastage. $80 worth of school track pants in that bag. Those clothes that should fit me. And it gets worse. Robert asked for a suitcase, he was going away. And instead of getting one of the 500 suitcases that we have that are empty, there was one with clothes in it. Now, any other time, that wouldn't have been a problem. But the suitcase represents failure. Because inside that suitcase are clothes. Wait for it. That have shrunk. You know, when you bring a suitcase out of Bali and you shrink wrap it, something happens to clothes inside. So this was perfectly innocent, but to me, it became this massive problem. A little thing tips me over the edge. I was like a woman possessed. I had to text apologies to everyone that was within a 5-mile radius. None of you do anything like that, I know. Sneha and Evan were there, and I said, Sneha and Evan, when I tell the congregation the truth about this, and they all go, no, Pastor Chrissy, you would never do that. You can go, oh, yes, she did. But it gets worse, but that's for later on. Anyway, the solution to these expectations are to try and be realistic. You know, we're constantly being told that being a mother is the most important job in the world. I mean, there are great examples of godly women in the Bible. I mean, Noah's wife, go figure that out. I mean, imagine if your husband came and said, I'm going to build a because there's going to be stuff that comes that's going to swamp us all. And like, you know, I mean, she went with the program. I mean, I would have a problem if Rob told me he was bringing home a budgerigar. Let alone two of any animal and every animal on the face of the planet, including reptiles. There was only one unicorn. But I mean, really, she was an amazing woman. Anna, Elizabeth, Joanna, to name a few. Eunice and Lois, you know, they stand out as generational blessings. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, clearly recalling your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois, then in your mother Eunice, and that I am convinced is also in you. I mean, that is stunning. I had a godly grandmother. You know, I have memories. She used to wear this massive corset. And I have memories. Okay, guys, just stay with me. It's one Sunday in 52. It's all good. And I used to hear her pop in the corset every night. I'd pretend I was asleep, you see. And she'd be praying the Psalms, popping her corset and praying the Psalms. And she had a very big, long corset, and it went on forever. And, you know, but I remember her praying the Psalms. Godly woman, 7 children, a farm of land, you know, like amazing. And then, of course, my own mother, who, again, has been just so inspirational and incredible worker. I got my work ethic from her, but unfortunately, her work ethic, I think, is on steroids. But she is an amazing, amazing woman. However, mothers frequently experience the undying need to live up to this, to what that statement means in terms of perceived expectations. Comparing ourselves to Joanna Wesley with 19 children, you know, just doesn't work. I mean, that woman got her quiet time in every day, even though, you know, she put her apron up over her head, and that's how she got her quiet time. Yet mothers rarely receive positive feedback, ensuring that they are doing something right. We don't, as I was laughing at that, we don't receive pay rises. We just don't receive pay for being a mother. And you don't receive an evaluation. You know, I mean, I was thinking maybe I should put up a mommy star chart. And I was thinking, what could I put on it? I would put something like this. Stay calm, when you get, you know, to get out in the morning, and then I would get a star if I did that. Keep your hair on when there is no toilet roll. Can I tell you something? I'm going to talk about this a little bit later on. But this thing here turns into a violent weapon. Violent. This will turn even the sanest person into a monster. And I found out that it's not just me that struggles with this. It is lots of mothers. Anyway, more in a minute. I mean, could you just tell me what part of this, putting this from the toilet into the bin beside the toilet versus onto the floor beside the toilet is difficult? I mean, dangerous. Be careful of these things. I mean, be really careful. Anyway, I would also say that I would smile when I couldn't find my hairbrush. I am having the biggest joy at the moment because Rob used to say, don't be so ridiculous. Don't worry about the hairbrush thing. But listen, when I'm trying to get out in the morning, it is a military operation, and I know which brush I need, and I need to use it, and I want to go in my drawer and find it. Well, I have to run around the house half naked. Oh, you didn't need to know that. Sorry. I have to run around the house and find my brush, and he's laughing. Well, he's not laughing anymore. Because what have you lost, Rob? Nail clippers. And where did you find them today?
Next to Paris's bed.
Next to Paris's bed. And how did that make you feel?
Happy.
Ah. How did it make you feel before happy?
Annoyed.
And I just kept smiling. I said, I'm sorry, I have to laugh. Just kept laughing. Then I would also get a star, apparently, according to Gigi, if I was to slow down and explain clearly. But you can't win as a mother, because if I slow down and explain clearly, they go, I know that. I know how to do it. Don't tell me. Don't tell me again. But apparently, obviously, I need to slow even further. And then I'll get my star on my mummy chart. Then, if I could leave my keys where I could find them, I'd get a star. And if I could put my mobile phone on my own charger, apparently, I would get the booby prize for the week. So that is my KPI for the next week. They have actually laid it all out for me, and I'm going to try and achieve it. But you know, we tend to nitpick on our own self, and we make a small problem into a major thing. Now, I am a hopeless parent, clearly. Clearly, I have not taught my children to respect people. Clearly, I just might as well stop, because if they can't pick up the toilet roll, what hope is there for their future? I mean, it's logical, right? Well, that's what we do, isn't it? I mean, here's my wonderful daughter. She got herself a job. She gets herself over to her job. We're even talking, I need to be back in time for work. You know, here she is doing all these, but we have an issue that is life-threatening. And then I need a nanny cam, because nobody actually takes responsibility for the toilet roll. So obviously somebody's lying. So is it safe to put a nanny cam in the toilet to catch the liar? I don't care what else they're doing. I want to know what they're doing with these. Clearly, I need more medication. We live with the idea that perfect motherhood is within our reach. It is a myth. And there is a really good book to prove it. It's called The Myth of the Perfect Mother, Rethinking the Spirituality of Woman by a lady called Carla Barnhill. And let me tell you something, Carla, I'd make you a cup of tea and I'd heat a wheat bag and I'd make you sit with your feet up, because that was a very good book. We have ridiculous expectations that lead to guilt and undue pressure. And in turn, we become ineffective as mothers, as friends, just as women in general. Every mother should be careful not to get into the trying to be the perfect mum. Now, I did a little bit of research, which I was telling you a little bit about. So, and I took this research really seriously, and I've collected data following a very strict procedure, very strict. I only asked one question of each mother and only had one cup of coffee in each establishment, because if I sat any longer, they started to ask me for rent. The research that I did is also qualitative in that I am seriously interested in gaining a rich and complex understanding of this subject in the moment. And I've taken a very pragmatic approach in that I don't have time with harried mums to be too philosophical about which demographic of mum I'm looking at. So I've actually just chosen three. I've chosen the corporate mum, I've chosen the cupcake mum, and I've chosen the church mum. So just hold on one moment, please. One moment, please. All right, so the corporate mum, now I know we could all cross over, but I asked them a question. What do you wish other women knew and understood about you? And this is what they said. So you might learn something from this that you can then take to your friends. First of all, she says that she loves her kids. She may be in contact with them in a different way by Skyping them from a business trip or leaving little notes for them before she leaves in the morning, but she does love her children. Thirdly, she may set them in front of a video in the office for half an hour while she gets some work done, but she does know what they're watching. She may have to read long reports and short bedtime stories. She may not make cupcakes from scratch, but she manages to scratch them together somehow. She loves it when you remind her of your name when she sees you at pickup because she can't remember. She is grateful when you give her the scoop on what is going on or where is the best place to get the things she needs. And she so appreciates it when you chat to her child when she is running a few minutes late for pickup. Keep that in mind because you can help your friend who's a corporate mum. Now, the cupcake mum. One moment, please. I do feel very empowered when I put on Rob's penny. It says, you can have your cake and eat it too. All right. So the cupcake mum, she wants you to know that she loves her kids. She wants you to appreciate her choice and recognize it as not easier than working. And she doesn't do coffee all day long. She has generally made a choice to do this, and whilst it is a joy, it is also a big sacrifice because she has made choices to not go forward in her career. She may not be fully up to date with current affairs, but she does know where to go for the best and most stress-free birthday parties. These are valuable bits of information. She does make cupcakes and most other things from scratch and allow her that privilege. She has a lot to contribute and is happy to assist others as long as they recognize her choices. She is grateful when you can help her in your field of endeavor or point her in the right direction. She may not have those contacts anymore, but you do. Share them. She so appreciates when you also have her child to your place, so it's not all one direction. She doesn't keep score and expect it to be even Stevens, just a little give and take. And then the next mum that I found, that I interviewed, just one moment, please. Maybe we should keep everything on at once. Oh, I can't get this out with my hand. I've got it. There we go. The church mum. So, she loves her kids. She puts a high value on character development in her child and loves it when you acknowledge this. She is genuinely concerned about her child being able to contribute in a healthy way to the community in which she lives. She wants her parenting to grow and develop, but she wants support and not judgment. She wants her children to be considered as normal and not perfect, yet in an environment where they are encouraged. She needs everyone to support her and help her, both as a mother and as a person. She needs to see that what she is doing is her ministry for this season. She is really grateful when older, more experienced parents contribute to her parenting skills. She really appreciates when she sees that her child is part of a community of faith and that we care. The fact is that as mothers, we love our children and we need each other to help us in our mothering. While I was reflecting recently I was sitting asking God where I felt his presence on my parenting and where I felt it lift. Clearly, the loo roll is a place where I feel no peace and no presence. And I do this every day. I just sit at night and sometimes halfway through the day and I check where I felt God's presence and where I felt him using me and where I felt that I have maybe let him down or where I maybe feel some sense of sorrow. And I was asking God about just some of the things that I didn't like and how every challenge in our life also brings a gift with it. And I was asking him about this and he said, I really want you to exercise gentleness. And I'm thinking, gentleness? Me and gentleness are just, you know, it's just not really a good mix, God. You know, if you want something done, I'll get it done. Forcefulness works, but gentleness, really? You know, like in the morning, I was thinking, you know, getting the kids out on time is like, come on, like we need, you know, a whistle and, you know, we need time checks and, you know, we need to, you know, make this thing happen. Anyway, I was praying and the Holy Spirit said, do one thing for me. And I said, what's that? He said, I want you to identify three times where you can bring gentleness, which is a fruit of the Spirit, into your daily life. And I thought, three times, when's that? And within seconds, it just hit me. First thing in the morning, you know, instead of hurrying the kids to get them out using force, which is contrary or opposite of gentleness, I thought, right, I'm going to apply gentleness. And the mornings that I've done that, it has worked absolutely beautifully. Have I been perfect? No. Then when they come home from school, I'm like an inspector. Get your bag emptied. Get your bag emptied. Nobody recognizes any of this. What have you eaten for lunch? Why did you not eat that? Why did you not eat that sandwich? That's good food. You've wasted it. So I apply gentleness, the fruit of the Spirit, and I feel presence. And then we can discuss why they haven't eaten it. And then before they go to bed, instead of, because I have been brought up to have everything at the door or in the car, so there's no racing around in the morning, even, you know, you lay everything out from what you put on first till what you put on last. And so I would be going, right, have you got your clothes laid out? Have you got your clothes laid out? And then in the morning, if they hadn't their clothes laid out, if you hadn't had your clothes laid out last night, that wouldn't have happened. I mean, nobody, I know that no one in this room relates to me. And the dads are all going, my wife doesn't do that. And you know, no, I know. And so I started to apply gentleness to this. And it has made such a big difference. The fruit of the Spirit in our life as mothers. And we need encouragement. And look, clearly, you know, I drop the ball and the fruit falls off the tree. And stuff goes wild sometimes. Really, it does. But we need each other. And, you know, it's been said that it takes a community to raise a child. And if my mother was here and she saw me throw my blazer on the floor, she would have a conniption. So I'm going to pick it up in respect of her. I'm not going to fold it, but I am going to pick it up because that is really slack and that shows lack of respect. I'm so sorry, Mother. So it takes, see, you know, mother just doesn't go away, do they? And it takes a community to raise a child, and it takes a community to support a mother. So for all the mothers, I would like to read you a little story, and we're going to have the pictures on the screen. The night before Mother's Day. 'Twas the night before Mother's Day. Mum lay awake. The sense of excitement was too much to take. She knew that tomorrow would bring her such joys as gifts from her daughter and two darling boys. Her little girl, Courtney, would brighten her day by giving her something she'd made out of clay, a pottery teacup from art class at school, and Mum would say, lovely, since honesty's cruel. I simply adore it, my clever young daughter, and why should I care that it doesn't hold water? And what of son David and dear little Paul? They'd buy her some soap from the Mother's Day stall, some lavender powder and bath salts as well, and other such items for people who smell. They'd pull up some flowers to hand her with pride, forgetting the puddle they'd stepped in outside. and neither would notice the footprints they had made in all of the places where carpet was laid. They'd give her some chocolates, the ones she liked best, and Mum would eat two while the kids ate the rest. She'd open her card and the children would titter as Mum ended up with a bed full of glitter. And Mum kept on thinking the clock had struck three. She thought of the morning, what fun it would be. She'd stay in her bedroom and not be concerned by cries from the kitchen as breakfast was burned. The kids would leave dishes, the mess on the shelf. They knew that the kitchen got cleaned by itself. They'd bring Mum her breakfast. She'd tell them, well done. And Dad would look happy, though he would eat none. She'd kiss them and thank them, her three little pets. Then munch on the muffins that looked like briquettes. And just when she'd struggle to eat any more, they'd feed her the omelette that dropped on the floor. When breakfast was over, they'd all go away so Mum could relax for the rest of the day. And Mum kept on thinking the clock had struck four. She thought of the evening and what was in store. The children would wander, then home they would come with something borrowed, especially for Mum. And Dad would say, sweetheart, this day is your own. I'll organise dinner. Pass me the phone. He'd order a pizza with pineapple rings and Mum would remove them. She hated the things. Then Paul would say, Mummy, it's all right for you, but why don't we celebrate Children's Day too? Both Courtney and David would sulk in despair and Mum would agree it was grossly unfair. Disturbed by the notion, she'd ring her own mother, and kindly and gently, they'd comfort each other. You've had a hard day, dear, her mother would guess, of handcrafted prezzies and mayhem and mess. We'll come around later, let's both drink some tea from leaky clay teacups you once gave to me. Then Mum stopped her thinking. The silence was deep. She sighed, then she chuckled and fell sound asleep. So on the night before Mother's Day, I wish you all the best that God can give you. And as you reflect over what lies ahead, I just pray that the Holy Spirit will show you what gift that you can carry into the day. And to be grateful that the fact that you are living and breathing is because of the mother and the partnership that God had with your parents, your biological parents, that has given you life. He created you in your mother's womb, and he has made us all unique and different. May God bless you tonight. And may God bless you and show his presence very real to you in whatever you head into tomorrow for Mother's Day. I love you all. I'm going to pray for you now, and then we'll close. Father, I just thank you for every person here, Lord God. You know their unique story. Lord, I thank you that you created each one of them in their mother's womb, Lord God. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you chose this way. Lord God, that you see this as a perfect and flawless way. You even submitted your own son to birth through a mother, Lord God. And we are forever grateful for that, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just take a moment now to thank you for the women who have given us birth. Regardless of whether they're living or they're dead, our relationship good or bad, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the gift of life that they have given each one of us here tonight, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless those mothers that are in our midst. Lord, bless those that are spiritual mums. Lord, that are reaching out to others to show nurture in whatever way they can, Lord God. Lord, those who have adopted children or sponsored children and are mothering them in that way, Lord God, whether male or female, we thank you for that nurture, Lord God. We thank you that you are a nurturing, kind God. And we ask that that kindness would be a hallmark of who we are, whether male or female. Lord, bless every person here tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this weekly message audio podcast. If you'd like to listen to more messages and find out more information, check out our website at www.baysidechurch.com.au. Church has changed. Check it out.